This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mario Cristobal is joining us now here on 1080 The Fan, the home of the Oregon Ducks. Here they got their game this weekend, 4:30 this weekend against Nevada at Autzen Stadium, and he joins us now. Coach, thanks for taking some time and joining us up here in Portland. I'll just start with the game itself. What did you see in person maybe in the second half, and what did you see on tape that maybe led you to feel a certain way about the game changing momentum?
Well, I felt that we played hard throughout the entire game. We certainly maintained our physicality throughout the thing. They made some plays, and they did a pretty good job of man coverage when we were trying to take some shots down the field. But overall, I just think it was a very hard-fought match, obviously coming down the last couple plays of the game. But we had our opportunities, and we didn't capitalize on them, and we got to take it as a team and move forward.
Yeah, there's always so much excitement going into the first game of the year, I think, for everybody, fans included, just trying to figure out what their team's going to look like and what kind of season they're going to have. And, you know, some teams can ease into the year with a winnable game. You guys were thrown right to the fire, the only ranked matchup in week one. What did you feel like you learned about your team one weekend?
Well, I think it was important for us to find out exactly, after being 18 months in a certain off-season program, where our physicality stands, right? Because at some point in time, you're going to have to be a very physical football team, an explosive football team, to be able to compete at the highest level. And we felt that a lot of the stuff that we worked on was on display on last Saturday. And then a couple things that we really feel strongly about being able to execute and being able to coach, we fell short on. So there was a lot of learning. There was a lot of stuff that was accomplished as well. So good, some positive, and some other things to work on.
Mario Cristobal is joining us now, the head coach of the Oregon Ducks. They get ready for Nevada 4:30 this weekend at Autzen. I saw your offensive coordinator was talking to the media yesterday, and he talked about opening the playbook and taking chances down the field more often. Felt conservative was the word I kept hearing from people. How involved is Justin Herbert in play calling, audibles, the communication factor between him and Marcus Arroyo on a play-by-play basis?
Well, no, we have a play caller, and we call the plays. And certainly we try to take some shots down the field, connect on a couple early in the game. And in the second half, felt like we had a couple things there. They did a real nice job covering it, you know, and we certainly have our plays run up for certain situations and certain coverages. They're there, you take them. If they're not, you got to check it down or move on to something else. So credit to them and credit to our guys for working hard at it.
Does Justin ever step up and ask for certain plays or anything like that, or does he just run with the program?
No, Justin, whenever he sees something that he really likes or something he feels strongly about, it is he's all about it. He's all about doing whatever to help the team win. And you know what? When he sees certain things on the field, there's some flexibility there for him to change certain things and put us in an advantage play, whether it be the run game, the pass game, or a protection. So he's excellent at it. He does a great job.
Yeah. One thing we all know about the offense, you guys were a little shorthanded at the wide receiver position, and we all found out before the game that Juwan Johnson wasn't going to play. We knew about Schuler and Micah Pittman before. So everybody knew you were going to be shorthanded, and then the Juwan Johnson news, people found out before the game. I'm just kind of curious, one, how you think that affected the offense, and then two, how differently you guys maybe attack Auburn if you felt like you had all those guys out there, especially in the second half.
Well, I think anytime you lose four starters on the side of the ball, it's hard. You know, Cam McCormick was a guy that we certainly missed as well. But we never flinched. We never went in there, you know, making that as a – or using that as an excuse. We trained the other guys to go ahead and try to do the same things. And guys had – they did some really good things, you know, against a team that, I mean, heck, has been known as one of the better defenses, not only in the SEC, but also – in the country. So there's a lot of stuff that our guys that stepped up that did really, really well, and some other things, hey, you know, they'll get better at, and we'll make sure we execute on it.
And one thing I think that stood out too was that touchdown catch by Spencer Webb, which that was kind of a coming out party for him. Anybody who stood around him realizes how big and physical and strong he is, and then he goes up and makes that play in the end zone. So kind of on that note, looking forward against Nevada and then the weeks to come, we know Schuler's going to be out for a while. Pittman's going to be out for a while. I know we're just kind of waiting to hear on Juwan Johnson and when he's ready to go. But do you envision the rotation changing at all, wide receiver, more Spencer Webb, more tight ends? Like, do you have any changes there on the outside?
Yeah, we're using more bodies. You know, you saw Brian Addison. He played a whole bunch for us while Juwan And even when Juwan comes back and Brian's still going to be part of the rotation, Spencer Webb jumped in there. You know, David Davis is a guy that has gotten a lot of reps. Him, as well as, heck, Patrick Herbert has gotten reps out there at wide receiver. We, you know, because of it's a large number of guys that are out for a little bit, we're using all the bodies we possibly can that are capable of helping us win football games.
Yeah, Mario Cristobal is our guest, head coach of the Oregon Ducks. They get ready for Nevada this weekend. I think anytime you get good guys in recruiting and they come to your program, you're obviously hoping they become great. And two names that really stuck out for me just on television, Penei Sewell and Javon Holland, both had big games. They look like complete beasts. Did anybody else pop on tape for you of, oh, man, this guy really stepped it up from this offseason program to today or even in person?
Well, I think a guy that doesn't get talked about nearly as much as he should is Jake Hansen. Jake Hansen was – he played about as – I've faced this opponent a few times in that other place I was at. I haven't seen a center play a game against them like I saw Jake Hansen play. I thought he was really off the charts as a competitor, as a player. I think Troy Dye continues to do what he does, as well as Isaac Slade. I mean, there's a good chunk of guys that played some really, really good football. And the best part about it is no one is satisfied. No one's looking for, hey, we played well, but no, everybody wants to get better. And that's the objective of the entire program, get better every single week so we can accomplish our goals.
Yeah, I think another exciting part for people going into the start of the season for a week one, especially for you guys, is coming off the best recruiting class in the history of the program and having that kind of influx of talent. Just curious what you saw from the freshman. I know we saw a handful of them play. Mace Funa, Kayvon Thibodeau on the defensive side, but you know, that's tough. You throw an 18-year-old kid into that fire in front of that many people and that big of an audience. It's a bit of a jump from high school football. What did you see from the true freshmen that made their debuts?
Oh, they all competed. I thought they all did a really, really good job. You know, that's the part that they'll test you a little bit. You just sign a great class. You wish you could hit the fast forward button, accelerate it for 3 years and have them in a program. But that's part of it. But really proud of the way they went in there, the way they competed. There's opportunity on our roster. That's another big reason why they're here. And they took full advantage of it. We expect those guys to continue to get better.
Are the symptoms with some of the road woes and the Stanford and Auburn games, I know they're different, but the way that they kind of ended, are the symptoms the same in your opinion?
I don't quite understand in terms of symptoms. I know that our team is all about competing. Our team is all about fighting all the way to the end. And you know what? We've had some really close games go our way and some not go our way, but it doesn't change our approach, our mentality. And certainly in no way, shape, or form is anyone looking for any relief in a form of an excuse. So love the way our guys have approached the week mentally and certainly looking forward to another great practice tomorrow.
Is it a vital part of building a program is you don't want to, but sometimes you just have to take your lumps, you know, getting to a point of where you're aiming for with the program. You just have to take those from time to time in college football, don't you?
When you rebuild a program, you can't skip certain steps, and that's part of it. But to me, the whole thing is, look, you got to build it from the inside out. And you got to be impervious to any noise, to anything, because what you have to do to get a program on track to perform consistently at a high level requires every ounce of everything you have. And we're understanding that. Our players, our organization is understanding that you only get 60 minutes. That's all you get. You know, you're not promised anything else on a weekly basis. So I love the approach. I love the fact that there's an understanding, like, you know what, we can get better. And that's been the focus, so it's been good.
Yeah, I'm curious from your playing days too, Coach. There's something about, you know, when you're trying to close out an elite-level opponent and having that killer instinct, if you will, and you guys have won some big games. The Washington one, obviously, sticks out from last year. But is there a learning process in that as well? Because you mentioned, I mean, some of those mistakes in the first half, you felt like maybe you left 14 points on the board, and then the game we're having a completely different conversation today and then going forward. Did you go through that kind of as a player on those Miami teams of learning how to have that killer instinct? And when you got a team on the ropes, you got to put that nail in the coffin and put them away.
Well, I mean, you'd love to have the 14 points, but you can't dwell on it because in games like this, you just got to keep playing. I mean, you're really the clock and the scoreboard, they kind of lie to you. You know, they really don't tell the whole story of the game as the game goes on. You just got to keep playing. So, but I don't know if it's fair to compare it to those teams. I mean, those teams that I got to play on, those were like 6, 7, 8, 10 years in the making without having lost a game, and maybe once every 3 years or so. And so the roster was already stacked. The systems were already in place. The strength and conditioning program had been running for 10 years. So that's the kind of, I would say, program success that you want to build and sustain. Are we going to get there? Absolutely. Are we there quite yet? No, and that's okay. Building and getting there is a great part of the process that we love.
Well, and you strike me, Coach, and you may have even said this to us before, but you strike me as a guy that you also want to see how your guys respond against adversity, right? You start out 0-1, a game that you probably all feel like, okay, that should have been ours. We didn't get it. Let's work and go back and try to get the next one. What have the practices been like, and should we expect to see Juwan Johnson this weekend?
Yeah, that's, you know, the only way we approach that, which I got to be honest with you guys, we approach this in the same way we prepare our guys for life. There is no buckling. I think, you know, we live in a world where I think it's sometimes popular to buckle and give in, and it's not part of our DNA. We don't do it. It doesn't exist in our program, and our guys have attacked this opportunity of our Sunday practice, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's been awesome. In terms of Juwan, I don't know. I wish I could say he's ready to go. He was just about ready last week, and we had a setback, so I hesitate to say that he is. I think him and Cam are still day-to-day and seeing where we get to by Saturday, and hopefully we'll get good news by then.
Yeah, your opponent this weekend, Nevada, as well, not a pushover in any way, shape, or form. I mean, they just knocked off a Big Ten opponent in Purdue last week, so you got your hands full again this week trying to get that first win. What have you seen about or seen from Nevada on film that stands out to you?
Well, first, it starts with their, you know, really with both sides of the ball, very impressive. And on defense, it starts with their middle linebacker. You know, we kind of know that name, Shule. He does a great job. And they're disruptive. They play a very different scheme, you know, at three men, the three down front with the stack linebacker look, the odd stack, the odd tight stack. They do all kinds of different movements and stunts and pressures that create a lot of problems. And it created a lot of problems for Purdue. It showed in the game, and when you flip the other side of it, they've got long, athletic wide receivers. The quarterback does not play like a freshman. The guy is well beyond his years. The offensive line is tough. They get good push and movement, and the running backs run hard. They are a really good football team, and I'll tell you that game they won was no accident. They're a really good team.
That watching that game on TV, Coach, the timeout situation at the end there, the back-to-back timeouts with Herbert going in and then Herbert not going in, what happened there from your vantage point?
Well, the first time I had to use it because from a personnel standpoint, with some of the injuries that we had, we required different personnel groupings. The Herbert thing, it really has nothing to do with the timeout. Even though we were fuzzy on the rule, we were set to go with Tyler. Mm-hmm. When those guys were in there, did not feel comfortable with the way the guys were settling into their alignments and to run the play. So no hesitation there. Use the timeout, regroup. It's a 4th-and-1 play. Let's get it right.
Yeah. And so much pressure, I think, in this era is put on quarterbacks to perform. And sometimes we forget it takes a village to win a game. But they get a lot of the credit or a lot of the blame for wins or losses. How'd you think Justin Herbert played in a big moment on a big stage?
He played very well. He played very well. I think, you know how it is. You guys are in the industry. Whenever things go great, so let's look for the guy to hand the trophy to. And when things don't go well, let's see who we, you know, why. And then let's blame it on this. There's a lot of different things that go on in the course of a football game. A ton of plays that can swing it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert played a heck of a game. He really did. And just love how accurate he is with the ball, how decisive he's been with the ball. And at the same time, his leadership skills have really just continued to grow and develop. So really fired up about him, and I can't wait to see him play this weekend, man. The guy's really playing well.
What did you make of Coach Avalos' debut with the program? I know you guys were really excited to get him from Boise, and we talked to him actually going into it, and he seemed pretty jacked up to get to Dallas and make his debut. What did you make of the defense's performances under the new DC?
I thought we were disruptive, played with a lot of energy, made a lot of plays, especially in the first half and the third quarter, and really just pleased with the way that defense has come along. And again, a team that's known for physicality and doing a lot of things and making explosive plays, I thought that it was a really good first showing, and I think our defense is just scratching the surface.
My co-host, Coach, I'm going to get you out of here on this one. My co-host saw you pregame. He says, I've never been scared from a human being walking towards me like when I saw Cristobal walk out of that tunnel. He was ready to go. Did you, though, have any moment of downtime where you got to enjoy some Texas barbecue?
No, I don't. You know how it is, brother. When you're in the season and even in the offseason, it's go time. You really don't get to sit back and I mean, I enjoy it. I love the grind, yeah. So it's not like it's a burden, but no, I'm sorry to disappoint you without having any barbecue, man.
Don't worry. I ate enough for the both of us, Coach. So we're good there. Don't worry about it.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Mario Cristobal, the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, getting ready for Nevada this weekend. 4:30 kick. You catch it here on The Fan joining us here. Coach, thanks so much for the time. Maybe we'll talk with you next week.
Okay. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.